Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It is the Anfield Wrap. After Liverpool go to Chelsea, play the fastest football match you've ever seen. I've got Kev Walsh, I've got John Gibbons, Phil Blundell was there. I am just obsessed, Phil, with what it must have been like to be in the ground, to see the fastest... Was it the fastest football match you've ever seen? And secondly, what was it like to see all the football happening that fast?
It certainly felt like one of the fastest football matches you've ever seen. It didn't feel like the ball was dead for very long. Like, I was almost surprised at the end. I think there was 4 minutes. Was the 4 minutes added at the end?
But the first half, yeah.
It felt like, I don't know how it happened, because it didn't feel like the ball was out of play at all. It just felt like it was two teams sort of going at it. And in our way, sort of, I think we were happy to cede the ball to them quite a bit and let them sort of try and come at us, because I don't think they're the most creative side in the world when it comes to like attacking patterns of play and things. So I think we were happy to sort of let them try and break us down. And in fairness, I don't think they did much. Like, I watched Match of the Day back this morning, and the commentator goes, and Liverpool found themselves 1-0 up, but they have been by far and away like second best. And I'm like, well, bar when Trent's kicked the ball at someone and the keeper's had to go down at someone's feet, they didn't really do anything first half, did they? It wasn't like we were under the cosh or constantly panicking. They had a lot of the ball, they had a lot of the territory, but it didn't feel like they did a great deal with it.
What it feels like, I think, Kevin, this is why I think it is an interesting conversation, when you watch a game with a lot riding on it, and we've had a few of them this season, and they're going at that pace, I think it feels like almost like a deeply emotional experience. I was shattered at times watching it, because it's just bounding about, and it's something that you've so rarely seen. I'll go back to the pace of it all. You've so rarely conceived of football being played like this. It's like some sort of combination between the greatest football you've ever seen in your life and Sunday League at times, with the turnovers and the way the ball's bounding about. And you just end up like it. You end up sort of in this really weird emotional place at the minute watching this Liverpool team when they get embroiled in games like that, because they just feel, whether they are or they aren't, and we can maybe talk a bit about this, but it feels so uncontrolled from both sides.
That's exactly what it is. It looks phenomenal, like the speed and the pace of it, as you say. You're like, wow, I could never play like that. But then I reckon some of the players on the pitch are thinking exactly the fucking same. I can't play like this. I'm fucking supposed to do this. Yeah. And it's two very good technical teams, but I think Chelsea showed that they were on the ball, they were excellent. That midfield, just the way they were popping it around and playing the little
Kovacic was great, separating the goals.
I think their whole midfield was boss, and I thought ours was. I've heard ours get a little bit of praise, and I wasn't overly enamoured with it. I'm not sure whether I've just can't forgive Milner for that fucking stupid free kick he gives away for the first one, and it's blinded me to the rest of his performance. But that the game being played at that pace did not help us one little bit, I thought. And I think that's the first time you've been able to say that for a long time, where you say, well, the speed of the game was too quick for our midfield, and possibly speaks to the fact that the midfield includes a 35-year-old James Milner, who done all right and done what he had to do, but by God, that's not the game he wants to be playing week in, week out. And I'm not sure Jordan Henderson at 30 or whatever he is either fancies that type of game. On the flip side, that obviously craziness like that creates craziness. So Chalobah does what he does for the header, probably because he's thinking, fuck me, what is going on in this game here? Yeah. And Manny makes the most of it. So it swings and roundabouts with stuff like that. And it's probably a good job that we've been involved in some very big games, because otherwise, as you say, the emotional nature of the match could mean to think, fuck this, I'm turning off at half time. I can't deal with this second half.
They wanted to play over us, John. I don't think they even tried to play through us. I think there comes opportunities in the breakdown. And again, you know, I thought that they blocked off passing lanes really well. They wanted to pin Liverpool into their own half, but the plan is just to go over us over and over again, and especially into the area where Tsimikas was. And one of the things that sort of hit me whilst watching the game was Tsimikas. This is the best football team Tsimikas has ever played against. It just is. You know, if you think about where his career has been and who he's played against so far when he's played for Liverpool, this is the best team he's ever played against. And I think that they're just trying to sow seeds of doubt with dummy runners, extra men, overloads, all sorts of stuff, big booming balls out over Tsimikas, over the team, over Tsimikas. They're trying to do it over and over again. And I think that was their plan. As Phil says, they almost don't get a lot from it, but what they get from it is a football match that just won't stop.
Did what a lot of what we've done in the past is to turn games into frantic ones, and to make the opposition sort of rushed really. And you know, normally we're the team in control of what a football match looks like. It's only really when we play Man City where we've got to go, do you know what, this might be for periods on their terms and we're just going to have to hang in. You know, we've had a few years now of not sort of having that at all, really, whereas it feels like recently more and more the opposition have been able to dictate what type of football game it is and not to suit us. And I don't know why that is, really, whether that's, you know, whether that's us not playing well enough, whether it's just you know, one of those situations of being a big team. It was funny, you know, listening to, I watched it at home, listened to the commentary, you know, and we were talking like it was like, I don't know, like Wimbledon playing us, not like Chelsea. Do you know what I mean? If I was a Chelsea fan, I'd see that as a missed opportunity there, whereas they're being sort of almost lauded. Oh, they got them back, you know, for, yeah, fair enough, 2-0 down and all that. Do you know what I mean? But I remember coming out of the game at Anfield disappointed, really feeling like we've missed an opportunity there, because they obviously played the second half with 10 men and we weren't able to win the game and weren't able to sort of take the points off Chelsea. And I think Chelsea should see it as a missed opportunity with everyone who we had out, with all the problems we had, the fact that we didn't even have a manager there, you know, not to win the game, because they probably should have on terms of, you know, how much of the ball they had and how difficult we found it. And I think we are finding more games difficult at the moment than I'd like us to, really. And they don't look sharp enough to cope with. I don't know whether it's a knock-on effect of personnel being in and out, or the COVID situation, or whether we're just not training enough. But I don't think we're quite sharp enough at the moment.
Well, I want to come back to you on this, because I think the thing that, for me, the through line of these games is that the opposition chooses, because I think there's been a long time of trying to work out the best way to play against this Liverpool team, and I think the opposition choosing a fair bit of madness, being really unconventional, just making the game really quick. You know, for instance, I think you can draw a line between all these London draws of Tottenham, of Chelsea, of Brentford to an extent. The Brentford game's mad. The first 15-20 minutes of the Brentford game are really weird. The whole of the game's a really strange thing. Mm. And I think that almost what they're doing is, rather than have a thing where you try and contain us and you sit back and you think we'll be happy to be in touch and distance with 10 to go and see if we can do something then, what I actually think teams are doing, I thought that's what they're doing when they're coming to Anfield, but when we're going to their ground, I think there's a bit of them just saying, fuck it then. Trying to control them and contain them is not going to work for us. Let's make the game quite wild and see if we can benefit from it. I think Tottenham do that. I think Chelsea have done that. I think West Ham do a bit of that, to be honest with you. And that's not very David Moyes. I think there's a thing here where they're almost saying, all right, let's just go toe-to-toe and see where we end up.
But we used to be fine with that now, though, and we used to relish that. We used to say, yeah, come and press us and fucking watch what we do. And we'd have to, we'd just pop around and then suddenly we'd be through. So that, something must have changed for that to be the worst idea you've ever thought of in your life. Oh yeah, we'll just throw men forward and leave us sort of free on free at the back to actually become a good idea. I don't think someone's just suddenly just thought, oh, we'll play like this against Liverpool. I think there's a reason. It's because teams are having success. And as I say,
I think the way the Brentford game goes, I think it sets, yeah, not a blueprint, because we would copy tactically, yeah, but the idea of do this, because if Brentford could get a 3-3 with it, then we could get a 3-3 with it.
But I think Brentford obviously get a bit of luck because our finishing isn't what it should be. So the one Mo Salah, you know, normally scores and doesn't get there. But you wouldn't necessarily say that's the case for Tottenham or Chelsea. Yeah, the Rana looks a little bit. And there's one where it's a real shame towards the end where Chamberlain can't quite control that, because we're 4-2 against Anna. And I think we'd have scored, to be honest with you, because Chamberlain's good in those situations. And I think he'd have chosen the right moment to release Mo Salah. And so that was sort of a real shame. So people are sort of taking risks. And I think it's calculated risk, but I don't know. I just think, like, in the past, we'd have been like, yeah, bring it on. Whereas now we're sort of shitting ourselves. We're not able to sort of control. There was too many passes where they were rushed and someone was getting a bad pass and then they were being pressed, and so they were just having to put balls into space and just hope. And there was too many hopeful balls in that first half especially, which were a result of being rushed but also not getting a great pass. So Henderson was getting one at waist height and going, well, I can't bring this down because this fella's on me, so I've just got to, like, just pop it over there and hope that someone's there and then we give it away. There was too many of them, really. So I take your point that people are trying something different, but I think last year but 2 years ago we'd have been like, fucking bring that on if you want to do
that's
that
the
shit.
The elephant in the room, we're not as good as we were 2 years ago. And I think, listen, we all love this team, we all, like, they've done amazing things for us, but there's no way you can look at this team and look at the team that won the league and say it's at the same level, because it just isn't. It's the same players, but they're a couple of years older. We haven't freshened it up enough, in my opinion. And I think teams are looking now and you think, well, why are teams willing to attack us? Teams are willing to attack us because they they're not just going, well, we'll have a little go, because they've got teams and teams of analysts who are looking at Liverpool. I'm going, okay, well, here's a possible weakness, and trying to exploit that. Whereas 2 years ago, they were going, listen, I've been looking at this team for the last 3 weeks, and I can't find anything to go at. Whereas now, they've obviously got something, and it's working. And it's not just Chelsea doing it, as you said. It's Tottenham, it's Brentford, it's West Ham. It's happening over and over again. And listen, we all want to think that Liverpool are the best team in the league, but we're clearly not. Man City, the best team in the league. There's no doubt about that. Now we're not as good as them this year. That's just unfortunately the way it is. So I think we've got to be a bit more realistic and maybe a little bit more self-aware and think, yeah, well, there might be some problems in our camp as well. It's not just what the opposition are doing. There's problems we need to solve for ourselves.
For me, the key thing, Phil, and I think it's a strange team, it's a strange game. If you go through the whole game, I actually think, you know, in the same way that before when City come to Anfield, I think we defend really well for that 15 minutes before half time, where it feels awful because they've got the ball and they're moving us around, but they don't actually create a chance. Nope. Chelsea at the end of this game, and this is why it is strange, there's a period, Chelsea looked to me like they were gone, about 68 to 76, and then suddenly from about 76 to about 88, they had looked like they were well on top and had way more energy, but they don't create a good chance, and they don't look like creating a good chance. And that's what's funny about this team, is that you can talk about how, and it is hard to talk about, at times you're like, they're not defending well enough, etc., etc. And then they'll go through a period like that where they defend absolutely brilliantly. Mm. And that's why I think it is difficult to sort of put your finger on. I think there's decisions that Liverpool are making, and I think it's as much about the decisions as it is anything else. Like, there was times in that first half, I couldn't believe where Virgil was trying to put the line. Mm. He's charging up over and over again, and then he's turning around looking at everyone going, why aren't you with me? And they're like, Virgil, you're playing centre mid. Come back. And I think there's loads of little things still in the team where I think we were so determined to be front foot all the time. All the time. And the thing about that 1920 team is it was quite happy to roll with the punches a little bit and go, actually, we'll just play back here for a bit and you can punch yourselves out and then we'll show you. And I just think that's a different type of confidence. You sort of know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
And I think yesterday, again, it's like we've got to prove ourselves every 5 minutes of footy. And sometimes you don't. And at the end of the game, we don't prove ourselves and it's fine. We don't concede. And that's what I'm finding hard, is there's times I just like them to roll with the punches a little bit more, get through a horrible sticky 5 or 10 minutes and then show.
I think the second goal was a really good demonstration of exactly what you're saying, because the line isn't great, is it? There's a runner from deep. Everything's bad about it when all they should be doing is going, 47th minute here. Get as deep as you can, the ball away. Like, I think Salah should probably do better with Rudiger. I don't think the header, I think it's Trent who heads it to him. Yeah. That's not a great, I don't think that's a great
But I think Henderson should put it in the foot.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with
Henderson's
all these
trying
things.
To score a goal.
That's another thing of what I was talking about before, about someone not getting a great pass and then suddenly they just have to put it into 100%. The space. I don't think you can really criticise Salah as well, because I think it's like, I get it, but it's like, it's Rudiger and he's front foot. So we can't expect these forwards who...
Yeah, that's fair.
To be winning all these balls, really. I think it's, you know, but it's...
They're trying to score a goal, John.
Yeah.
And it's not just Henderson, but and it's all the way through. That's what drives me mad. They go 2-1.
And no game management.
But the flip side of that is later on the show, game management. And that's what's mad. Yeah,
in that specific moment, though, game management doesn't just come in like the 70-20 minutes. It's got to happen at every stage of the match. You go 2-1, and then it should have just been closed down. Yeah. And 2 years ago, we would have done that. But then, because this team isn't as good as it was then, and therefore it's probably thinking, shit, we might concede, yeah. It's probably thinking, we're better going towards the goal because we might be better off just, like, fuck it, go all out attack. And, well, we've seen time and time again this season, it's not working for us. We're drawing games and we're losing games when we do that.
I was going to say, at the same time, as it feels like 2 years ago a lot of things went for us, if we're being honest, and this season feels like a lot of things aren't. And I know the first goal really did go for us, but...
You make your own luck, though.
I agree with that, but like, you look at the Kovacic goal. If he doesn't score that, I'm convinced we just win 2-0.
Yeah, I
absolutely
agree.
Convinced we win 2-0. Spurs away, Alisson comes out. He's been the best player on the park by a country mile, and he just misses the ball 100 times out of 100. The next 100 times he does that, he gets the ball. That's 5 points. Well, it's not 4 points, isn't it? That's another 4 points just by two... And unlucky things.
And in both games, I think Mount should be sent off.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Mount should be sent off, and I think Kane should be sent off. I mean, the man, I think, but it's first 6 seconds, you do what you want. You can knife people if you like. Sorry, it's just footy. The Touche has got to accept that. It's just footy. It's the way it goes. First 6 seconds, first minute of a footy match, you can do whatever you want. But everyone's just got to say fine.
Did you see the lad who basically backed no booking in the first minute, £50 to get his free bet off a bookie?
Was it you, Phil?
It was was to win 5p so he could have a free bet.
But my point here is in a lot of these instances, I agree. By the way, if he doesn't smash it in, I think Mount could be sent off. If he doesn't just smash it in, I think we'd actually, and this is why the game management thing drives me mad, because I actually think we've done all right there.
Yeah.
We get 2-0 and we actually calm the game down, and it's a bit like a slightly more sensible game of football, and we're getting to a point, and then all of a sudden there's a free kick given away. Even that, they defend it. And then the lad just fucking does that, which he'd never do again. And that's what I find hard talking about them at the minute, John, is I oscillate between, and with Kev completely, you make your own luck. But there's another part of me that's just going, but they are having hard lines. And that, you know, it's a difficult place to be, especially with a team you've got so much affection for,
yeah,
to be living in this space between you make your own luck. The 1920 team didn't give a fuck what happened to it. It found ways to win. But there is a thing where I'm looking at this Liverpool team going, but they just have hard lines on a few occasions, and it just feels a bit moody.
Well, especially when you're watching City as well, and they're getting sort of, you know, a good fortune at the moment, and that's not to sort of say, oh, they're just where they are because of, you know, referees or luck or whatever. You know, I agree with Kev, they're the best team in the league, but they are, you know, getting, you know, the Arsenal game, you know, they're getting the good fortune. You know, it wasn't just that one. You know, the last two or three times that you watch them, you feel like, you know what I mean? Like, they've had a bit of fortune there. You know, Pep Guardiola's almost laughing in the post-match press conference against the Arsenal. He's like, fucking hell, how did that happen? But sound up the City. And then he said up the bench, then he probably wouldn't say that, would he?
I would have thought.
You would say it was an unconventional press conference.
But as I say, you're watching them and they're looking like, you know, they're getting the rubber to green at the moment. So then you're watching us and you know, it's who's got COVID now and this and that. And so that's sort of doing your head in it a little bit more, really. I think that's sort of, you know, finding it more difficult. But look, they just need to sort of, you know, to get through this period and just need to sort of try.
I was watching this, and just as an aside, I was watching the game with Jono, and Jono said to me there was a point yesterday where in 10 minutes, City got the mad pen, Arsenal got a lad sent off, and Klopp got COVID. And I thought, what the fuck's going to happen next? Is someone going to break into ours? Yeah, like, this run of events. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And that was it. He said, this is in 10 minutes. And I was just sat, with my head in my hands thinking, what on earth do we do here now?
But it does feel like that is the sort of the way it is at the moment, isn't it? And you do make your own luck, but I don't know what the footwear making in Kirby.
It's a game of mistakes, Phil, and they're everywhere. To be fair to the Reds, it's Trent makes his mistake, but the keeper, Callagher, digs him out, does brilliantly. Up the other end, Shalaba makes his mistake, Mane does brilliantly to exploit it. This is, we're talking, and the other thing to say here is the game yesterday is the fastest game of footy you've ever seen, and the two teams in the game are somewhere between the second and fourth best teams in Europe. That is worth pointing out. While we simultaneously feel low because of the City situation, but it becomes all about mistakes. All the game is, from both managers, both setups, it's about forcing mistakes for that 30-35 minute period, and that's another the reason why these games, my God, your heart is pounding watching them, because that's what it's about.
Yeah, you're very concerned that one thing's slightly wrong, and a very good footballer, because there was very good footballers over the pitch yesterday, he's just going to take advantage of it. You know, the opening goal is the best example of that possible. What Chalabar's doing, I've watched it back, he just needed to kick it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't sort of a waist height where it was, you can go, that's a bit awkward, that. It's about...
It bounces up off the floor before he even gets to it.
It's incredible. I don't understand what he's doing. And then Mane comes in and scores 1-0. I don't think Alonso's particularly great for... I don't think Alonso or Thiago Silva are great for the...
Or Rudiger, just basically watches him and goes, he's good.
Thiago Silva gets caught between sort of, where's Jota going? Yeah. Where's the ball maybe going? We penalise that. There's no mistake. Well, there's a stupid foul from Milner. There's a mistake for the first goal, second goal. Everyone just switches off. The line's all over the place. Four goals just brought about by someone doing something wrong. As good as Kovacic's strike and as good as Salah's goal undoubtedly were.
This is the Sunday League sort of bit of it. And I say that, again, they are somewhere between the second and the fourth best teams in the world. A footy, like, literally they are. That's how good these teams are. And then, but you're watching this, Kevin, this again. I want to sort of keep coming back to this theme of these are such... people are listening to this. We've been following Liverpool for years. We've been following Liverpool for no time at all. Any reason why you're listening to this, if you're finding these games unbelievably stressful to watch, there's a fucking reason for it. They are unbelievably stressful to watch. And that's what you're getting to see. And I can understand, therefore, why people are making mad shouts or people are getting really emotional, because these games are just pulling you to pieces, because that's what they're predicated upon. Can we force them into errors? And both sides are doing it all the time. Can we force them into errors? And the ball's just ricocheting around. And, you know, for me, you've got to manage those mistakes better is where you end up from a Liverpool. From a Liverpool point of view, put Chelsea to one side, you've got to manage those mistakes a little bit better.
Yeah, but the game's played in that context, but also the season's played in that context now as well. Like, I've never known a time where it's so fucking earth-shatteringly bad to lose one game or two games. Like, we've lost two this year, haven't we? And we're basically out of the title race. Yeah. It's fucking insane. Do you know what I mean? In years gone by, you'd have teams losing like six, seven, eight games and winning the league by a distance. United have done it loads of times, and I can't say. So now you've got a season whereby any mistake over like the course of a 90-minute game in terms of the result is an absolute nightmare. So then you'd have a game like that yesterday where you're thinking, fuck me, the only time anything happens in this game is when someone makes a mistake. Why won't they just stop doing that? You're so fraught watching. You're thinking, for fuck's sake, just do something simple. And Jordan Henderson would probably turn around and say, so what are you saying? That's us on the couch, Dad, but honest to God, no one covers it. Just right up my ass here. And the ball's a chest height, as John said before. The fuck am I supposed to do? And then you're saying, Mo, could you not have gone in front of Rudiger there? No, I couldn't, mate. Because I've been trying all game. I've just scored an absolute wonder goal, dickhead. Now get off the fucking couch. Do you know what I mean? I've got like
sympathy. Ashville was in the ground.
I've got sympathy for the players there because they're going to make mistakes in games like that. And I think the way to manage their mistakes is probably to have a bigger, stroke better squad, isn't it? And then Jordan Henderson, like, the mistakes happen more when you're tired and when you've played every game, or it seems like you've played every game, you're going to sort of be more, you're going to be more likely to make a mistake like that. The thing is, in a game like yesterday, as you say, like, when they're getting punished, like, so badly, like, and as I say, every mistake and every punishment seems earth-shatteringly bad, you're like, for fuck's sake, please just stop doing them.
Yeah, they're probably not training well enough as well, both in terms of the fact that there's games all the time, but also, you know, they all keep getting COVID. So do you know what I mean? So I think as well...
Well, in Jordan's case, just a really bad cold, but that was never COVID.
Yeah, I know.
Jordan just doesn't believe in COVID. just the sniffles, gaffer.
But it's like, you know, because so much of the training is around these match day, you know, sort of moments, isn't it? It's around, so, you know, you see them doing the rondons and stuff like that. That's all about what you do when someone's charging it. You pass it off to your teammates and stuff like that. So I wondered whether watching them sort of, you know, yesterday and watching the game, like, are they training as much as they'd like to be at the moment for these sort of, you know, for these game moments where it's faster, it's frantic, and that's where you rely on. You know, it's almost instinct, isn't it? You're relying on instinct, but you're also relying on technique, you're relying on sharpness, and it doesn't feel like those things are there for the moment. They're just like, oh, you know, shit, I'll just kick it over there and hope for the best.
You've also got to remember that the manager wasn't in training on Saturday either, which has an impact on the preparation, because it's not as easy to do it, like, this is what we're going to do tomorrow, because the manager sat at home in Formby, possibly not even watching it if he's certainly not telling them, do this, do that, do the other, on the training pitch, like I'm sure he would want to.
Just on the way in which the assistant manager says post match they felt he sorted a couple of things out at half time, a tiny little bit, and I think you do sort of get to see that, Phil. You get to see that in terms of the fact that the game just sort of slows a little bit. Yeah. If anything, we allow Chelsea to come onto us a little bit more. We stop trying to, so we decide that we're going to try and hit them on the counter. And I think again, why this then becomes difficult to watch is because you've just seen a first half where Liverpool have been really, really front foot. You always want Liverpool to be front foot. Liverpool then go back foot a tiny little bit. And you're a bit like, for fuck's sake, can you be more front foot? But part of what we're trying to do is just ensure the game's played at a certain pace and in a slightly different way. And we're trying to soak it up. And they have hard lines. John mentioned one example before of a counter that doesn't quite work. Salah does brilliantly on a couple of occasions. He gets a great save out of Mendy, a great, great save out of Mendy. And, you know, I was just at that point in the game, I was thinking, we're very in this. And that was where you just wanted them maybe just to, if they could just have got up and played a tiny bit more, is what I'm saying. If they just couldn't progress, I don't think, to pitch an attempt back in the Chelsea half like they did do between 30 and 35.
It was weird because we probably had the better chances, but they had more situations where you thought they're going to have a chance in a minute. And I think it's almost the best way to play Chelsea, in terms of if you go at Chelsea, as we saw in that game at Anfield earlier in the season, they are very good at compacting space and not giving you anywhere to put the ball. Whereas if you let them onto you, because of the back three, it always means there's a bit of space sort of over the wing back's heads, which is it's how the first goal, I know it's the first half, but it was how the first goal was scored, was basically just getting in behind Alonso. And if you're sort of able to give yourself the space by sitting back, it enables stuff like the Salah chance. Like, I think there's a Mane one as well a few minutes after where he cuts inside, and I don't think it's the best finish. It's not the best finish. I mean, the keeper pushes it wide.
I wanted to punch the telly off the wall with that finish. What, that was absolutely dumb.
It was like he didn't kick the ball properly. Like, it was really weird.
I already had a comment with Mane anyway because he's been shite recently, but that done my fucking head in that shot.
Looked scoring one goal doesn't enough for Kev. Doesn't fix the cop. It is a great move, but that's what they weren't quite getting quite enough of for me, John. Was because I kept thinking, if we can get in there, if we can create something here, I'm absolutely certain of it. And you even get to see that, I think, 90 to 96. I think I was thinking that we're going to score here. Yeah. Jones gets in about three or four times really well. Shimakas nearly gets in a couple of times throughout the second half. Maybe just at times the ball's not quite right from him because he's just not used to playing with these players. And I'd like him to maybe drive into the penalty area a little bit more than he does. I think Robertson a couple of times would have took it on into the area and picked a pass out, maybe. But those chances were there for Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's what's frustrating, that they couldn't beat the press more effectively, because obviously when you can, then the space there, and you saw the two or three times. I mean, that Mane chance that we were talking about there comes from, it's just two or three little triangles, and then suddenly we're through, we've got loads of space. So, you know, we've seen it when we've done it. If you commit men forward, you know, there is a risk to it. If the other team can sort of beat the press, then the space behind, we just weren't able to do it effectively enough. But when we were, we were good. And you mentioned Curtis, I thought he did really well when he come on, and I was like, oh, wish he'd have been on a bit earlier. But I mean, you don't know, do you? You don't know he's going to come on, and he got to grips with the game sort of, you know, very quickly. He's obviously been out for a long time, so I understand why they didn't bring him on, but he was sort of on the ball, you know, well, and looking to sort of, you know, to make stuff happen, really. And so funny, stop, my favourite moment of stoppage time though was when we got a corner and Tchimikas did the big one to the glass and then hit the first man.
That was a bad
it was the fact that he'd done the big
one. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And he was like, come on, 3-2
this, boys. Yeah.
He didn't just hit the first man as well. It was like
it was emphatic.
Yeah, he couldn't have hit the first man more.
He hit it so well to the first man that he headed it into the one half. He was torpedoed to his head that much. He was like, boom, he headed it right. So yeah, that was. But yeah,
no, I think just on the subs part of this, begin to sort of draw it off, Phil. I think it's a twat of a game to come into. So I'm not, and this is for both sides subs. I don't think anyone's subs play well. I think Jorginho comes on and he's a bit like, are you for real? because I don't do this. Yeah. I do the opposite of this. No. I don't think anyone sort of, and I think that both, I think Chamberlain a couple of times, if he could just have got the touch, as John says, a couple of times. You know, I think Keita in that 90 to 96 period looked like he was beginning to probe and find a little bit of a way. But I think the first thing I would say is, for both managers, it is a nightmare game to bring a footballer onto and say, get to the pace of that.
Yeah, that Jorginho in particular, he's not a quick player, is he? He's controlled, he's slow, sounds a bit like a criticism, but it's not. He's just very sort of in control of what he does, like sort of like almost like lethargic, but not
today,
not
son.
and it's a shock. But it felt like that's the Jorginho, because Jorginho comes on for Chalobah, doesn't he? And they had to fiddle about with a few things, and I think that took them a little bit to get to, because I think there's Azpilicueta coming to centre back as well, and the centre back who's playing on the right goes into the middle or something, like, I don't know. I was looking around going, who's playing where here for them? I had no idea for a while who's right wing back and who was wherever.
Where it would be fair to the Touche is he sorts it out, doesn't he?
And
it's often you'll see a manager will make a sub and he'll have a plan, he'll go, this is what it's gonna look like, and then he makes the team worse, and which is what the Touche did effectively. But then he goes, oh shit, I need to sort this, and then does. And that's actually quite a hard thing to do, really. And normally when you'll see a manager sort of, you know, as you say, make the change, have a big plan of how it's going to be. Suddenly we had loads of the ball. I was like, this is brilliant. Are we brought an extra man on? But then he sorts it, doesn't he? And then they have a good period from there, which is actually, you know, fair play to him.
Fair play to them. It feels, in a general season, so your point before, Kev, in a general season, and I would even say in this season, 2-2 at Stamford Bridge, absolutely fine. It should be absolutely fine. The issue is obviously where it leaves the league table in this current climate. And that's why, you know, from a Liverpool point of view, the other part of it as well is 2-2 at Stamford Bridge, absolutely fine. The order of the goals, not absolutely fine. And it means that too often this season you look at a Liverpool side who've found themselves pegged back in games. And I think that's in your list of ways Liverpool have done your head in throughout the course of the season, while simultaneously still being, I'll keep saying it, one of the best four teams in Europe and absolutely brilliant, but in your list of ways Liverpool have done your head in, it's the getting pegged back bit that's waking me up at 5 o'clock this morning, lying in bed, staring at the ceiling, going, for fuck's sake, Liverpool. And also all the adrenaline from the match.
Nah, that's exactly right. 2-2 in a normal season, or even in this season, is fine, as long as it's not 3-3 at Brentford. And as long as we don't...
And it's not 2-2 at Brighton. Yeah. At home to Brighton.
Yeah, but all these games where you've effectively thrown away points. You've done it before, Phil, where you said, well, if you've done this and you've done that, it's an extra this many points. And it's just so easy. Like, I've driven myself fucking mad this season going through the games like that. Specifically the Brentford and the Brighton ones. Them 4 points, really.
Brentford, Brighton and Leicester are my three. They're my three.
Well, there's Leicester as well. I'll have that
and
one.
That's seven.
But even City, we ahead twice against City.
Yeah.
So it's just like, for fuck's sake. And you're looking at the league table and you're like, they're miles ahead. But then you go, well, there's them 4 points and then them 2 points. And you think, well, that's how close we are to being there. But the problem is, in a normal season... Well, if I say, if the norm is now, what's happening, to be fair, in past seasons, you could go, well, we've done that, but it's all right, we'll go on an 8-game winning run and we'll peg that back. But the problem is, I don't see City dropping points. Neil said, we're off here before. You think maybe they're having a bit of a wobble. I'm not sure that they are. But the problem is, I don't see us going on an 8-game winning run either. There's my issue with it, because we're a great team, but we're not. I don't know, we're just not at that level, I don't think.
That's just on that, John. I was doing a bit of a thing, having a little look, the numbers, all that sort of stuff, and I don't think it's gone, but I think we very much need City to drop points against Chelsea coming out, and if the Touche wants to do another mad one, that'd be great, and force City into some madness there. But the thing, I think my issue is more what Kev's just said, in that I'm looking at Palace away going, well, anything could happen in that match, and I'm not, you know, this isn't a scared of Selhurst Park thing, it's just they play quite progressive football, Palace, the dynamic, they've got lads who carry the ball well, and I'm just thinking, there's every chance that becomes another game, which is just berserk. And that's my Liverpool worry. My Liverpool worry is we've become a football team that invites madness upon it. I'm sick of, you know, the thing that put me mad writing last night, I'm sick of Liverpool being involved in classics. And I'm just looking at Palace away going, people are going to say, what another great game involving Liverpool that they've drawn 2-2.
Well, even Brentford at home, I don't know who's going to play up front. Do you know what I mean? And so who's going to be sort of, you know, the forward? You know, I presume we're going to go on and talk about these Arsenal games, which I think are big now as well. And it's who are the sort of forward options, really. So normally, you know, if you are a bit shaky, you'd think, well, we'll just blow Brentford away, though. We're at home. Yeah, what happened away. But, you know, if they get one or two, then we'll just get three or four. Whereas for this next few weeks, we can't say that because we haven't quite got this. We haven't got any forward options at the moment.
Well, do you think that might? I was thinking about this as well. In that, again, 5 a.m. this morning, staring at the ceiling. What I was beginning to think was it actually might suit us a little bit here to get into a bit of a mentality of, you know what we need to do to win this game, lads? Not concede.
Yeah.
We need. You know, we need, the way we win this game is by not conceding, creating a couple of decent chances, taking one of them, and then going to them. Right, we're a wall now. Cop for this. I just sort of wonder if it might not be actually that bad a thing, and it's not just looking for the bright side in general. For Liverpool to maybe get back to a bit of a mentality of, you know what, nil. We're going to Arsenal, nil.
Yeah.
We're going Brentford then, Shrewsbury then, sorry, nil. You're not fucking scoring at Anfield, lads. We're not letting you have it. Not after the way you moaned a couple of years back. No. Then the next one, you know, Arsenal at Anfield, nil. And just get into that mentality.
Yeah, no, I think that's what they might have to do in terms of what they've got there and what they've got available. And also, you know, it's not a bad place.
The fuck is Divock, by the way?
Oh, he's done me head in, to be honest with you. We had this big Divock loving about a month ago, and then he's pissed everyone off again.
Do you know what I mean? Where is he?
What's the life and times of Divock Origi summed up there.
Maybe he's chocking with the uni.
Has he got a heavy load of exams?
No, he's like, fucking this course, I thought it'd be a sound thing to do. It's doing fucking paperwork on my ears.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. He's doing me head. Minamino as well. He's just under in terms of.
Divock's getting it, but Minamino just needs to watch himself.
I know.
The fuck is Divock? Like, can someone ask, if any journalist do listen to this next press conference, can you just go, lad,
the fuck is Divock?
Where the fuck is Divock? Can we get a fucking answer?
It's been one of those injuries that we seem to have a lot of the last few years where it's like, oh yeah, he's got a slight knock and he'll be back next week, and then 3 months later he's still injured.
Yeah.
And no one really knows what's happened to him because everyone seems to forget about it because someone said he'll be back next week and you just assumed he was back and then
also,
he's not
back.
Also,
no one gave a fuck 2 weeks ago because the African Cup of Nations was 2 weeks away, but now the African Cup of Nations is on our doorstep.
Sort of that, but also just in general, like yesterday I'd have loved some Divock. Like that game, my first sub, if he'd have been on the bench, would have been for Jota. Just throw Divock up front and say, really go and piss Thiago Silva off.
Also, to be fair, though, what you're really saying is, stop bringing on fucking Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Chamberlain in the front three because it's fucking does, or even anywhere near an attacking line. I know he's all right, but fuck me, he doesn't look comfortable there.
No, he couldn't get into the game. At all.
Looks hard for him. Yeah, where the fuck is Divock? Might be the title for the show. We'll have a think about that. just then, subscribe to the Anfield Rap because it's boss. It is boss. But
might even locate Divock Origi if you send money.
Yeah, if enough of you do it, we'll get a squad.
Maybe Minamino's trying to win the high five world record. But
maybe Divock's had a steal it off him.
Maybe they're doing it together.
Yeah,
could be awesome.
You need
stuff.
Two to high five, as the saying goes, Phil. Takes two to high five.
It does take two to high five. Do subscribe to the Anfield Rap for more insight like that. theanfieldrap.com/subscribe. You can also do it through YouTube and through Spotify as well, and very shortly through the app. I need to talk to you about that, but you know, it'll keep till later on. All the stuff that you need on the Anfield Rap, which is mostly summed up by the idea of staring at your ceiling at 5 a.m. going, what the fucking hell are we going to do next? But what we are going to do next is continue to be the second or third best team in Europe, which is berserk, but it is also true. And Liverpool now have to solve the problem as what they're going to do against an Arsenal side that do look as though they're at least having a nice time, John. I think that's the way Arsenal look from the outside in at the minute, as though everyone's having a nice time for the first time in a long, long, long time. And that is as much the threat, I think, as anything else, that I think Arsenal are going to bounce into this game on Thursday, even despite the late disappointments against Manchester City. They're going to feel like they can really do something against a slightly depleted Liverpool. What are we going to do?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, really, because it doesn't look like we're going to have huge amounts of options available to us that weren't there for the Chelsea game. And so it's going in. So we're going in on a bit of a downer when we've drew, and they're going in on a bit of an up when they've lost, which is a strange situation. But, you know, they play well against Manchester City. They caused them a lot of problems, and they'll be buoyed by what they were able to do to a top team. And then they'll look at Liverpool, you know, us having problems, people making chances against us, you know, the fact that we haven't got the firepower, and so they don't necessarily have to be worrying too much about what sort of what's behind them. They're able to attack this game, really, and we just need to get through it, still in the tie, I think. Do you know what I mean? I'd bite your hands off for a draw, absolutely bite your hands off for a draw in the Emirates in this. Even if we're 1-0 down or one goal down, it won't be the end of the world, I don't think, going into that. We need to treat it like a two-legged tie, really. You know, I love the idea of, you know, what you were talking about before, going there with the mentality of this is nil. But the big games these, in terms of the season, you know, I'd love to win a trophy. You know, the idea of winning a trophy by the end of February, isn't it, is a real sort of positive one, and then being able to sort of attack from there and going, okay, you know, we're not, the quality of the squad isn't one where you say a League Cup in a season is enough, really. I wouldn't say, I think we're sort of beyond that, but at the same time, you know, if you're able to get that League Cup and then I think, well, we can attack these other tournaments now, hopefully still in the FA Cup. We'll certainly be still in the Champions League and able to sort of attack that, really, and see what's going on in the Premier League by then. So it's a big couple of ties, and it's a big moment for us to sort of, you know, to wrestle back the momentum of the season, really, because there's still everything to play for.
Still having to play for, Phil. I think the big thing for me when he's looking at the lineup for this one is Sunday to Thursday is a big gap. And then the reality is, It's the semi-final of a domestic cup, and then it's the third round of another domestic cup, but against a side that are two divisions lower. And for me, that should make his mind up. I think he'd be completely right to go whatever, as strong as I possibly can, equals for the game against Arsenal, and then you make your changes for Shrewsbury, as many as you like. Yeah, free hands.
You could basically play the team that played against Leicester, that started against Leicester, against Shrewsbury, and that team is probably going to win, isn't it? Yeah. If we're being perfectly honest,
they're struggling, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're like the 16th in League One, something like that. They're not in great nick, so we really should be.
After the fucking last time, yeah.
I hope even after Klopp's released from his COVID jail, he just doesn't turn up anyway.
Yeah,
just to really annoy them.
I'm allowed,
but I'm just not going to bother, lads. You'll sort it.
I'm going to go Pep. You win this one.
But yeah, I mean, it's not just us who's affected by the AFCON, which is something that seems to be forgotten, I think. Like, we go to Crystal Palace.
And don't be Shrewsbury struggling.
No, sorry. I'm going out to Arsenal. Yeah, that's okay. I was talking about Arsenal, come on. You know, Thomas Partey was their best player on Saturday, and he's gone now, hasn't he? The man who came in to replace him was probably El Nene, who's gone as well. Gabriel's suspended because he got sent off the other day. So
They played Tommy Asu when he wasn't fully fit. They were just getting him through the City game, yeah.
Robbo's back, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's good.
Do you think there's something mad, like when Dalglish plays Staunton up front at Arsenal once? Like, just play Shimakas and Nico Williams in the front, David Jota or something mad.
I think
I'd play both for Shimakas and Robertson somehow.
I'd play Jones left, Jota and Firmino. Firmino could be back for it Thursday, so if it depends when the 7 days.
Yeah, let's hope so.
And then you give Firmino an hour.
He won't train them.
It doesn't matter, though, does it? It's one of them games where you're like, just going to be mad. And Bobby Firmino, if there's a player in our squad who doesn't need to train, it probably is Bobby. You know what I mean? Because he's magic, isn't he? He can do what. Yeah. He's such a good footballer, technically, and also, he doesn't feel any sort of pressure. So he won't be like, shit, I haven't trained. He'd be like, fucking great being back on this pitch.
I made up to play.
I love playing football, mate. So let's just get into
this. Go back against Arsenal as well.
Yeah. So I think that's what I thought there was enough. You saw enough from Jones there to say, all right, yeah, let's have a look at that left hand side and just get him to be really lively and really clever. One of the things that's underrated about Jones is a really clever player, I think, in the opponent's final third.
Didn't he play a lot there for the under?
That was his position,
because I remember his first game, that MK Dons game, he played in the front three.
Basically, Jürgen made him dead boring, which is fair enough, because footy is effectively, unfortunately.
Well, not for us at the minute,
well, John.
Yeah, no, we want it back. We'd like that back, please.
Yeah, no,
he's like this.
I was saying to you before we started, I watched the second half, stood up in arse, which is like mad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so the neighbours walk past, and I'm just stood there, just like in front of the telly.
Maureen, he's at it again.
Very much so. Good job, the Christmas trees up in the window, but our games are bad. But basically, like, you know, he'd love to get off the leash, Curtis Jones. I think we've just, you know, made him a sensible footballer. But no, I think he'd do great there.
That's what I'd do. I'd play Robertson if he's fit, which I presume he must be. I want to see some Joe Gomez. And part of the reason why I want to see some Joe Gomez, Kev, is I think he's good at shitting himself. And there's not enough Liverpool players at the minute who, from my point of view, panic when the opposition have got the ball. Joe Gomez does. Yeah. And Virgil van Dijk might keep a line next to him and not go and play fucking halfway line if Joe Gomez is next to him. I would like to see some Joe. I wouldn't have a problem if Gomez plays the next three, just to play him into some rhythm and so he becomes a genuine option and not someone we're just trying to manage back to fitness.
I think it's mad if he doesn't play the next three. Right, like, he's a great player. And he's been, like, I think people forget how long of a run him and Virgil went on next to each other a couple of years ago. And he was absolutely brilliant as well. And Virgil van Dijk loves him. That's important, you know what I mean? Van Dijk loves playing alongside him. Now, I've got no doubt he likes playing alongside Matip as well, because it really works. And Canate's probably exactly the same. But these next three games are not a free hit, because we don't need to win the League Cup, but it'd be really nice too, wouldn't it? But you're bringing Gomez in, it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like some Roper, though, we've got out. It's not like last season when we're bringing fucking Reece Williams in, is it? It's like bringing a first team player in. So get him in there 100% and play him into that bit of rhythm. Three games in a week and say to him, listen, lad, if you break down, there's nothing I can do here. If you can't play three games in a week against Arsenal in the League Cup and Shrewsbury, then we've got an issue. So yeah, 100% play Gomez.
I agree with that. I think give him all three, because he's definitely going to play against Shrewsbury, isn't he? 100%. There's no doubt about that. It's then, how long is Matip out for? Is Matip going to be back? He's not even going to be available to play against Shrewsbury, which means you've then got three centre-backs for the three games, haven't you, effectively? So
Do you think he's a bit later than Firmino then, in terms of how it's worked?
It feels like Matip was on Saturday
the
or
day
something.
After.
I think he was Friday or Saturday. Like, it feels like Alisson and Firmino, you might get back for Thursday, depending on when. Thing, but I don't think there's any chance of Matip looking at.
I don't think he'd be interested in playing Alisson in any of the next three either.
No.
Even though I think he's got it, and rightly, you know, I think that, by the way, I'm obviously, as you would be, because you haven't got Alisson, I was worried about Kelleher. I don't think he's great first half against Leicester, if I'm honest with you. I thought he was terrific. Can't do anything for either of the goals.
He fits with how the team plays.
I thought he was great.
There might be some goalkeepers who'll make saves that he wouldn't. But the rest of the time, when involved in sort of passing the ball out for the back and moving the ball out from the back, he's gonna do that far better than the other, like Adrian, for example, who looks like his rabbit claws and headlights at times the last couple of years.
So no, but I think Kelleher gets the next three regardless. I think you've almost got to, because if you were to bring Alisson back in for the League Cup games, you'd almost be within your rights if you're Kelleher to go, listen, I'm prepared to be patient here, but this is a bit much.
Yeah.
I want to play those. You know, I think it's one where the manager ends up with maybe a decision to make if we get to the final. Maybe have a decision to make there. But even there, I feel like he'd probably go with the younger man. And I almost, like, in a really weird way, Alisson might want to do that as well, because they're all very close. But maybe I'm reading too much into it.
I think at the final, there's a discussion to have there, but he earned his coin yesterday, because I thought he was excellent. He made everything he'd done. Like, even that Mason Mount free kick in the second half, that hits the wall, and then he has the shot. It's a good shot, and it bounces, and he just catches it. Like, he doesn't parry it. He just takes it and it's dead easy. There's another one, I think it might be Alonso, puts a free kick right into the top corner and he just walks over and catches it.
What are those two though, by the way, the camera cut to him because he wants to say something nice about him, but the fucking prick had gone and balled it out and we were launched on another counter-attack. And I was like, lad, just fucking hold the ball.
Give me a minute.
Just, can we all just have a breather there trying to say you're boss here, but you've just a shimmy castle crossing the halfway line. No time's passed. Fuck off.
I was going to say, he did that after, I think Pulisic, he makes a save from Pulisic and basically grabs the ball and throws it out straight away. And there's a lot of goalkeepers who would have gone, I just made a good save there, haven't I?
Yeah.
I loaded onto the ball. That was great. That sounds like you wanted him to do that.
Right, I just wanted 1 minute. Please, of that sort of stuff. I think we've got a team here, have we? Starting Henderson.
I would, just simply because if you don't, he's probably not going to play a game of football for.
Saving for the second leg, then, because we might. If we're 1-0 down, you wouldn't mind Henderson being in there as a bit of a charge of the light brigade type of thing, would you?
What's going midfield? Fabinho.
Oh no,
Oxlade Chamberlain.
I don't want any of these to play. Oxlade Chamberlain can play. Keita can play.
Keita can't play.
He's off African.
Oh yes. Yeah. To be fair, that's a bonus. He's shite. I'm only messing all UK to super fans, Rob. Oxlade Chamberlain definitely starts. Henderson might have to start then, might he?
I think he'll go to three. I think he'll go to them three.
Yeah. I think he does.
That's but then again, I'm thinking it's a League Cup game, but then it's the FA Cup at the weekend and not even want to play there. So yeah, go on, play all them three, go on.
Also, resting people at the minute is a bit potentially pointless because they might end up. You might rest him to say he plays against the second leg and the cup game, and then on Friday morning he turns up the training ground, tests positive for COVID and can't play in any other.
I think these FA Cup games are a bit interesting, really, because like DFL clubs have obviously decided they're just not going to test anymore. Yeah. I can't see Liverpool standing for that. Like, do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, we're just not going to test on the day. I don't think they're going to get a lay in Anfield. I think there's a strong possibility that a Premier League club, and probably could Liverpool because we're the maddest, just goes, well, you're not fucking coming in.
Oh, I like the idea that Klopp stops them, makes them test, and once they've tested, goes home.
He's there in a hive with the QR code scanner. Nope, not today, lad.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there's
that a is chance. Wild that they're not testing on a day, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that there's a team that just goes, we're not fucking having this. Do you know what I mean? You're not coming in.
In a really weird way, because the way football works, that's like almost Friday's problem. Know what I mean? Like, there's going to be mad press conferences on Friday. We're going to play Arsenal in the League Cup. All come through the next day. Yet again, feel like, fuck me, I'm exhausted because Liverpool have done something crazy. It's finished 3-3. No one quite understands it. Martinelli got a hat-trick but got sent off. Do you know what I mean? All the footy will happen again. We'll all come in Monday morning trying to fucking deal with that. And then from there, the Klopp will do his press conference and say, we're not playing them.
I'm away. It's going to kick off. I'm flagging it early. I'm like Jono with February 2020 with COVID.
No, you're
I'm flagging it early.
I'm enjoying that you're ahead on this one. I feel like we've got a plan for this one. Like, it might be Conte. Conte might just decide, fuck it, we're not having this. Fuck
you. Could be 32 versions. That Brazil Argentina game, couldn't it?
Imagine that would not be good. They all get nicked on the pitch.
All right, then. That's
from a football ground.
So that's everything sorted out. Thank you. Indeed, to Andy Heaton.
Joe Gomez is still playing, though.
Joe Gomez is fucking right.
He's still got to play.
Yeah.
You know, no one else.
Get 11 in from the crowd who've all got negative lateral flows. Because if not, you couldn't have got in. Thank you very much indeed. To Liverpool Football Club, really, for their ongoing commitment to making it different. They obviously felt as though regular routine games of football were no longer applicable. To be fair to Liverpool yesterday, I do think it is Chelsea who make it mad. I don't think it's Liverpool who make it mad. Liverpool are coping with the fact that it's been made mad. For once, we can point the finger at the other crew. But thank you very much indeed to Andy Heaton for producing, Phil Blundell, John Gibbons and Kev Walsh. I've been Neil Atkinson. That's been the Anfield Wrap. My kingdom for a full night's sleep, Liverpool. Sports Social Podcast Network.